Now, this passage that I'm going to read is in verse 27. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Now, what makes death so painful for people is after this. It's not the death itself, but it said, "But after this, death, the judgment." What makes death painful to people is they know that after they die, they're going to face the Creator. And make no mistake about it, people talk about they don't believe in God. They have a different attitude about it when they draw in their last breath. The after this comes into effect. And everybody here today, somewhere, someday, sometime, sooner or later, you're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And just as you're going to die, you're going to a judgment. After this, the judgment. Verse 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation for them." Now, let me doctrinally, the book of Hebrews is wrote to Hebrews, and they are looking to salvation. They're looking forward to the second coming, because at the second coming of Christ, that's when they get their sins took care of. That's when they get them blotted out. For instance, look in Acts, and we just, for a few moments, look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaching to the nation Israel. And he tells them that they've killed the Prince of Life. In verse 23, he said, "Him being delivered by determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." And so he's talking about Jesus of Nazareth, verse 22. And he comes over here and he's bringing a murder indictment against the nation Israel. And so he said in verse 37, "And when they heard this indictment against them, you killed your Messiah, you killed the Prince of Life. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent." And repentance is a mind change. It's changing mind about who you thought Jesus Christ was. They believed that he was a fraud. They believed that he was possessed of a devil. They said in Matthew chapter 12, "While this man doeth miracles, he casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And he said, "Repent, change your mind about who you thought Jesus Christ was. He wasn't who you thought he was. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah." And look, he said, then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." And if they believed that if they was going to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that's sure evidence that they believed that he was who he said he was. And then he said, "For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now look in chapter 3. In chapter 3, Peter preaching again unto the nation Israel. And he's offering the kingdom to these people. he said in verse 18, "But those things which God hath before showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore. Now look back in verse 15, 14, but ye denied the Holy One. And verse 15, killed the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead. He said, repent ye therefore, and be converted, turned around, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Then until everything is restored, he's not coming back. And Peter said, repent, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11. Now folks, there's no doubt about the salvation of Israel. No doubt about it if you believe your Bible. Now I put it over here, the second coming of Christ. Y'all seen all of this. We'll just say this is his coming again after the trib. And he comes and he's going to establish a throne. David's going to reign on that. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. This is the kingdom and that was preached at hand back here. He's crucified back here. They said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. God, he goes into the grave, the tomb. He's resurrected on the third day. And so Peter's standing here in Acts chapter 2, and he's offering them Acts 3 through 7. They're going to the nation Israel. They're offering them the kingdom. They're preaching unto them. Acts 2, 3,000 get saved. Acts 3, 5,000 get saved. People's getting saved. They're added to this kingdom church. Jesus said, in Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? Some say that thou art Jeremus, or some John the Baptist. He said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock, that profession, I will build my church. What is that profession? That thou art the Christ, the Anointed One, the Lamb of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're the King. You're the ruler that was promised back here with Moses. And on, there he is. And so they said, you're him. And he says, look, I'm going up to Jerusalem and I'm going to be killed. Peter said, not so, Lord. Now they've been preaching back here in Matthew for 3 years about the kingdom, and they're preaching the kingdom is at hand. He told them in Matthew chapter 10, he sent them out. And he said, as you go preach, said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, don't go into the way of the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, folks, you want to see them lost sheep? Read Jeremiah 23. You go back to Ezekiel. Those lost sheep were scattered by the pastors and them Pharisees, and they're lost and they're scattered. And he said, I am the true shepherd. I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for his sheep. He's come there to gather them sheep that were scattered by apostate Israel, and he's forming a new nation in here with the 12. Now, look at this thing. So they're going there and they're preaching. And so this is the first coming back here. And Peter said, repent, looking to the day, the second coming, when you get your sins blotted out. When? When we're going to get it, Peter? At the times of refreshing. Now, Peter didn't know that it was going to be over 2,000 years. Peter didn't know that. Peter thought that if Israel repented, as far as he knew, that the Lord would come back within a few years at the Jubilee. And he's going to them and he's preaching to them and he's saying, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And baptism was an identification for them to be associated in this kingdom church here. It's not the body of Christ. And that act of baptism was an act of faith. In fact, look back in Luke. In Luke, notice in chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, verse 29. If they believed the word of God that was being preached, this is what would happen. Look in Luke, verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Now, how did you know they justified God? They got baptized. They was identified with God by being in water baptism. Verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. How do you know that? Being not baptized. If they rejected the message, they wouldn't get baptized. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, if they wanted to be identified with Jesus Christ, they'd get into the water. And it's a type in the Old Testament, it's like the water of separation. And if you couldn't go through the fire, you'd get into the water. And the water of separation would be like it purify you until the time. So they would get their sins remitted, looking for the day the Lord would come and blot them out. Look in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Notice what the Apostle Paul said in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their what? When does the nation Israel get their sins taken away? When the deliverer shall roar out of Zion. Well, who is Israel that's going to get their sins taken away? Look in Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah 59, notice in verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Folks, no doubt about it. Repent. Turn from your transgression. Peter said in Acts 3, save yourselves from this untold generation. That generation Jesus had condemned. That generation, he said, is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And that, save yourself from that generation. God's fixing to pour his wrath out. And so they're looking at that. He said in Acts 2, this is that is spoken of Joel the prophet. And he said the sun's going to be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And there'd be signs in the heaven. And he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he's telling them, Call upon Him. Get identified with Him. Be baptized, and you can get your sins blotted out over here. And the writer of Hebrews says that when the Lord comes, He's going to look back in Hebrews again in our text. The Bible said in verse 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look." Now who are them? Those that turn from their transgressions. Isaiah 59:20. Them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation for them, and they'll go into the kingdom. No doubt about it. But not you. You already have salvation. Your sins is already blotted out. Your sins is gone. You didn't have to get in water. You're already complete. Now look, when Colossians chapter 2, then we're going to move on. I want to talk to you, and it's just 11:30, and I promise it's not going to be that long. But Colossians chapter 2. Notice what he said in verse 13. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you how many trespasses?" Let me ask you something. Is there one that he didn't forgive? They're all forgiven. Every one of them was forgiven back here in order to get him out of here. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now folks, one sin will bring death just like 1,000 sins. One little small sin is like a whole big bunch of sin. If God Almighty did not forgive that brought about the death of His Son, then death would have gripped His Son and held His Son, and He wouldn't have come up out of that grave the third day. Do you know how I know that my sins are forgiven? Number one, the Bible says they are. Number two, because the resurrection proves that they are. I have solid proof that my sins are forgiven. They're gone. They're blotted out. They are, you hear people say they're cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. I believe we sung a little song, something with that fact. You know where that comes from? Look in Micah. The last chapter in the book of Micah. If I can find it. It's one of those good little books. At least I think it's there. Maybe I'll give you a wrong reference. Yeah. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of what? The seas." And we can make a spiritual application. They're gone. Do you know why men go to hell today and women? Not because of their sins. They go to hell because of their unbelief and not receiving the sacrifice and the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now look with me for a moment. You'll notice he turned to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus. What about us in here? And by the way, this over here was a New Testament church. Do you know their idea? They looked at Christ as the Lamb that shed His blood for the New Testament, for the remission of sins. Look in chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Well, what kind of death did He taste? Look in chapter 5 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Notice in Hebrews chapter 5, notice verse 7. Who in the days of His flesh, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death, and He was heard in that He feared. Though He were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect through resurrection, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obeyed Him. Now throw the resurrection in there. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made Him to be what? Jesus Christ, when He was on that cross, He was the perfect Son of Almighty God, but once God made Him to be sin and He become what you are, He was no longer perfect. You understand? God made Him. God put your sin. God made Him to be sin. He said in Psalm 22, He said, I'm a worm and no man. It's though He lost His identity. Now look at the thing. Notice back in verse 7, He said with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death. Jesus Christ never... He's not talking about saving Him from dying. Jesus Christ was not afraid to die. Save Him from death. What kind of death would cause the Lord to cry and pray and ask God to take His cup away from me? Let's look at that just for a moment. Turn to again in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You see, folks, I believe that I believe He went to hell for you. Do you realize in that Bible that there's a second death? There's a physical death. There's a spiritual death. Jesus Christ wasn't praying to God to deliver Him from dying, the physical death. I believe He's offered up strong crying and tears to be saved from that spiritual death. In fact, the Bible said He was heard in that He feared. In that Garden of Gethsemane here, He's praying, and Luke says His sweat became as great drops of blood. He said, Father, if it be any other way, let this cup pass from me. That cup of the wrath of Almighty God. What is the ultimate wrath? It's to be cast into the lake of fire and to die the second death, a spiritual death, where you lose what God intended you to be, a soul, and you are like a worm for all eternity. Folks, we ain't playing games here. People come and hear this gospel over and over and over, and they don't realize what it does to them. You reject the gospel. You reject salvation. Every time you reject it, your soul gets callous. Your heart gets harder and harder and harder. And it's not as though God is not speaking to you. It's as though you don't hear it anymore. God's speaking now. And some of you's not hearing. It's just like water being thrown on a duck's back. It just beads up and rolls off. Look at it again in Acts chapter 2, verse 27. Well, I'll tell you what, just go back and look in verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Why? What hope? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Look down in verse 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Look with me in Psalms 18. In Psalms chapter 18, folks, Jesus Christ praying. The thoughts of the Son of God. I mean, going to hell for you. Suffering the wrath of God for your crimes and the sin. Who could reject somebody like that? Why would you not want to be saved? Look what he said in Psalm 18, verse 5. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I call upon the Lord. I cry unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. But He said, the sorrows of hell compassed me. Look in chapter 21. In chapter 21, in verse 4, He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it Him. Even length of days forever and ever. Well, that's a reference to the Lord. Look in Psalm 49. In Psalms 49. Notice in verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For He shall receive of me. Turn to Jonah. You remember Jesus said of a sign? They said, there's no sign given but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Where's he at down there? Look in Jonah chapter 2. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of where? Hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Look in verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars. Remember Matthew 16? Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Hell has bars, it has gates. Where's Jonah? He's in hell. He died. Don't you see that? His body's in that well, but Jonah's in the heart of the earth. There he is, and he said, bars were about me forever, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thy thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He realized the only way out of there was the Lord. And that's the faith of Christ. Christ went in there as a man. He died for your sins on that cross, and He went to hell. And in hell, He depended on the Father to raise Him back up. And in hell, He paid for your sins. And He become what you are. In fact, look in Psalms again. I quoted it, but look there in Psalm 22. And notice what he told. Robbie talked about the bulls of Bashan. But notice in verse 6. And you know, there's no doubt about this when you read verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, you know where he says that. He says that on the cross. Notice what he said in verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Come to Isaiah. Look in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. They're going to be, people are going to die in the millennial. They're going to a place where people can look down in there and see them. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. Look in Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9. You'll find in Mark 9, notice in verse 44. Mark 9, 44. Talking about, well, let's read verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Folks, there's fire in hell, and it's a place where their souls lose. It's the second death. A worm. You know what that... If you want to look at the Greek, a worm, a big red maggot. Turn with me and look at another one. Let's you can read on down there in verse 46. Verse 48, the worm dieth not. Look in Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now you want to study, figure out where death is. Wherever it's at, it's got people in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Why, folks, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 21, verse 8, but the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No wonder Jesus offered up strong cries. Said, Father, the wrath of God. It's the spiritual death. It's the losing of that spiritual and glory. But on that third day, God heard him. And he forgave And he come up out of that grave. And folks, the body of Christ in here, you're saved. The Bible says we were quickened with Christ, for by grace are you saved. Quickened? When were we saved? When we were quickened. Well, what did we get saved from? Second death. Just what Jesus Christ got saved from. We have eternal life. He's made perfect through resurrection. He come up out of that tomb. Our perfect Almighty God. On the cross, He became sin. There's no way He could get out of that tomb without the forgiveness that put Him in there. Sin. You know, I appreciate what the Lord done for me. No wonder Paul said, I glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have no salvation outside of Him. Why am I saved today? Because of what He did for me. What will God recognize? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. What will God recognize? Your faith? No, the faith of His Son. And we're justified by His faith. It's as though on that cross He looked and He saw and He stepped into it in the darkness of death. So that you will never have to experience it. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never taste death. You'll never feel the sting of death. The sting of death is sin. He removed the sin. You'll never fear death. Why? There's nothing to fear. Because you will never die. Isn't that something? I have eternal life. And if it's eternal, it's never ending. You can't have eternal life today and not have it tomorrow. It wouldn't be eternal. It'd be temporary. I have eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? Would you stand? If you don't, would you not trust in what He did for you right now? On this Easter Sunday, the world and all the religious and the purple robes on the wooden crosses. Folks, you heard today a message that 90% of the people won't hear about. In this world, they know nothing about the spiritual death. He bore it for you. Will you trust Him? Will you right now say, Lord, I believe You died for me, and I'm trusting that as my salvation, and I'm trusting You as my Savior. Will you receive Him? Father, Lord, I don't know who's here that's lost and who's not. But I pray that God, that You would deal with their minds even after they leave here. If they're not saved, trouble. Father, I pray that they'll see their need of a Savior. And Lord, that they'll believe upon You. And Lord, I'm glad that You went to that cross for me. There's no way that I could be saved without You. There's nothing that I can give You to honor me. There's nothing that You... I have nothing to bring. But Lord, Your Son brought it all. Thank You again and be with these people. Save every lost soul that's here. And Lord, the body of Christ, may they be lifted up and united around the cross. And we'll praise You for all that You do. For Christ's sake, amen.
shake hands with one another and go.